Argue, argue, talk, talk, talk. Exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk. Why won't you listen? Why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
I am so happy to be behind this microphone today. I've got a great show planned for you here on Spouting Off, and I'm going to talk to you about a couple of things before that. Welcome to Spouting Off, where you're better off when you're spouting off. And just for clarification, it doesn't mean that you should spout off all the time. We here at Spouting Off love to have boundaries and choices and individual freedom. So sometimes you get to clam up. But if you want to spout off, this is one of the places. We have a special guest coming on in about 10 or 15 minutes from now. His name is Dr. Brian Junedeff. He is a certified, well, he's not certifiable. He is a fascinating combination of retinal surgeon and political commentator. And I'll be telling you more about his background. He writes on all sorts of things. He writes at Daily Caller, American Thinker. He's really quite prolific at American Thinker. And there's probably not a whole lot of things that you couldn't talk to him about politically speaking. I will be introducing you to him after the first break, but I want to get started because there is so much to talk about. And when I always the biggest problem when you do talk radio is trying to decide which thing to talk about first or which thing you think is more important. You know, it all is relevant and related. Currently, we have, of course, the giant brouhaha about Ukraine. Ukraine and Russia are enemies. So now, because they couldn't get Trump on colluding with Russia, now they have to get him colluding with Ukraine, which is an opponent of Russia. I've said this so much on talk radio when I get to guest on other programs, is that this virulent, hateful, and lying left, all with varying degrees of awareness. Sometimes they're just hangers-on that are too ignorant to know any different. This virulent left depends on the ignorance of the citizenry. So that's one of the reasons why it is so darned important for us to stay on top of things. Now, I must confess, I can't possibly stay on top of and know every detail of everything, which is why I have good guests on, because the combination and the discussion of these various things is what makes it so valuable. We as citizens have a responsibility to keep educating ourselves beyond the propaganda news that's feeding us, spoon feeding us what they think we want, they think we ought to know. If there's no evidence yet that what used to be called the mainstream media, I don't call them the mainstream media anymore, the legacy left media, if you're not convinced that they are adamantly and absolutely committed to bringing on down this president, and thank God they're incompetent, they certainly have tried hard enough, and they are continuing to try, all you got to do is watch the latest James O'Keefe Project Veritas information that is just coming out. This is, as of October 15th, 2019, our 86th show. That's just coming out right now. So before we unpack it and analyze it, James O'Keefe is great at always putting out one video after another to make a case. And everybody knows by now that his pattern is to come up with one video to allow the left to his opponents, his targets, to claim that didn't happen. And then he comes out with two or three more just to make the case that he wasn't lying and he's got plenty of ammo in his quiver. That's a mixed metaphor, isn't it? So the media is so much these days the story, and they are involved and most of the story these days, because talk about abuse of power. It's the media that has the abuse of power that will say anything, do anything to bring down Trump. As I have said before, and it's doggone worth repeating, it's one thing to bring down a president and to even want to, a duly elected president, which means they don't care at all about the electorate or a democracy, small d, because we are indeed a republic, but a democracy that actually chooses its own leaders to represent them. What is even more disturbing, if you really think about it, is that these people are so committed to corruption and lies that they want to bring down a successful, a wildly successful president. To me, that's the view from 50,000 feet, is the fact, and I did write a blog about this at www.karencataline.com, is why is it that these deep staters, this swamp, and that includes Republicans and Democrats, why is it that they want to bring down a president who's making life better for Americans? That, to me, is the $63,500 question. Why do they want to do that? Do they want to see Americans be less fully employed? A reverse metaphor, if ever I heard one. Do they want to see Americans be more miserable, be more controlled, have less freedom, less rights, less opportunity? Do they want America to be great and Americans to be happier and more prosperous and more productive? Do they want us to be independent of foreign oil, something that politicians have been promising and promising and promising, but never, ever deliver because evidently they have a vested interest in keeping us dependent on foreign oil? Do they want Americans to feel proud of their country again? Do they want Americans to stop hating each other and to be less divided? Do they want Americans to stop focusing so much on race, 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 and bigot, 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 usually hurled by the very people who are engaging in exactly that kind of identity politics? They want to bring down really the very best things in America. My answer to all those questions, and it breaks my heart to have to say this, but I'd like someone to tell me where I'm wrong. It appears as if the answer to those questions is yes. They seem either to be indifferent to the fact that we have the lowest black unemployment rate in history of America. How about that? Well, I mean, that's astounding. They don't care. Do they care that America is starting to stand up for herself again and not be giving away everything that America works for? Do they care that America is having a resurgence, hopefully, God willing, an understanding of free markets, of freedom, and how those things go together? No, I don't think they care about those things. So I wrote a piece, and I'm going to kind of truncate this a little bit. It's about a few days old now, but it is what we call in the newbie news business, evergreen, which means this is a piece that could be used anytime, anywhere in the times we're living in, because it is kind of a broadly general piece, the name of which, in the Western Journal, it's still live, or you can find it at my website, www.karencataline.com, is the culture war that threatens to upend America. And the reason I wrote this piece was to give kind of an airing of something that I've been looking at for a long time, and it might be the subject of a longer monologue in coming shows, and that is that along with turning things upside down in America, because I just got through telling you that there's a huge number of people, less than you'd think, I'd say much less than 30%, the hard left, the swamp, who don't want America to thrive or have a vested interest because their pockets are getting lined to make sure that America is a part of the global socialist agenda, whatever is going on there. But the thing I've been thinking about is pushing what was private into public and pushing what was public into private. I'm going to give you this to kind of chew on for a while, and then I'll probably, as they say, do a little more on this in future shows. I've probably mentioned it. When you have a movement that goes 180 degrees opposite and says to people that, you know, we used to be against littering and all that, but now it's okay if you live in a tent, if you defecate on the street, if you behave like an animal. And there's nothing racist about that. You poop wherever you feel like, and that's okay. And you can destroy one of the greatest cities in the history, a city about which great songs have been written, San Francisco, and turn it into a cesspool and into mountains of litter in Seattle and take all the greatest cities. And that's okay. You can poop in public, but if you want to speak out that you're against gay marriage, that has to be driven into private. You're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to express your First Amendment rights. Now, think about that. That's worth an idea. That's worth writing a few commentaries on, because I think that's part of what's going on. So the paragraph that I begin this piece with, and then we're going to take a break and bring on our very special guest, Dr. Brian Jundeff. Not Giant Brundeff, but Dr. Brian Jundeff. If you've had the growing feeling that things seem to be upside down, that what is good and decent in America is being regularly attacked and systematically eradicated, while the very worst impulses of human behavior are being encouraged and even elevated, you're not alone. So that is to say, we're pushing what used to be private into public and public into private for the sake of destroying a great nation. Will it happen? God, I hope not. We're going to have a great conversation with Dr. Brian Jundeff, and I'll tell you more about him after the break. You're listening to Karen Cataline here on Spouting Off on PBS Radio Station 1. Stay with us.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Karen Cataline back with you after the break. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1. I'm proud and pleased and humbled to be your host. I have the privilege, blah, 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 let's try that again. I have the privilege of having on for the very first time Dr. Brian Junedeff, who happens to be a retinal surgeon. He received his training, completed his training in 1990. And has been in private practice as a full-time academic ophthalmology associate. If that's right, he graduated from Cornell University and Northwestern Medical School. But he also is a commentator and a prolific columnist. He's written more than 70 publications and is a current and past investigator in multiple clinical trials. If you haven't read his stuff, you can read him at The American Thinker. He has a great piece out in Daily Caller. All you got to do is Google him. He also has a Facebook public page where you can read more about his political endeavors. He's also written for the New York Post, Washington Times. Welcome to Spouting Off, Dr. Brian Junedeff.
Thank you, Karen. Good to be with you.
Great to have you. So as we were talking at the break, there is a plethora of things to talk about, but because my listeners may be, they're not only in Colorado, but around the country and anywhere you have an internet, you never know where this show might travel. So I've always been curious to start out with is how did you come by your conservatism, and when did you get political enough to start writing op-eds for major publications?
Well, the conservatism, my parents were conservative, my family was. I grew up with it. I guess my first exposure to politics was the Nixon Watergate hearings as a little kid, and seeing how that unfolded. The hearings were live on television every night, unlike Adam Schiff's hearings. so much for precedent. But
yeah,
That's kind of how I came about it, and Ronald Reagan's presidency, and following it. And during my training days, I was busy and worrying about getting a night's sleep rather than what was going on politically, so I didn't pay that much attention. But in later life, I began paying more attention again and find politics quite interesting. A few years ago, I went back to school to get a master's in healthcare leadership from DU, and I had to do a lot of writing. That's part of a master's degree, including a capstone thesis. And one of the papers I wrote on healthcare reform, my professor said, "Oh, this is good. Why don't you shorten it from whatever it was, 25 pages to 1,000 words, and send it in, see if you can get it published, like in the Denver Business Journal." And sure enough, I did. And I thought, wow, I got something published. So then it was, what's next? And I think my second publication was in WorldNet Daily. And it went from there. And it's kind of trial and error. I'm not at the level I'm going to get published in the Wall Street Journal, so I accept that. But I found a home at Daily Caller and American Thinker. So I write pretty regularly for both of those publications. And it's a good fit with my writing style and their audience. And that's worked out well. So I'm doing it. Writing comes easily to me. I have the ideas. I pay attention to news and talk radio and what's going on. And no shortage of things to write about.
Boy, it's an embarrassment of riches, that's for sure. So we're going to get to that in a moment. There's one other question I wanted to ask you about your personal kind of background. You may or may not know, because you've heard me on talk radio quite a bit. I'm hardly shy, that I went to Columbia School of Social Work, and I practiced in the healthcare field for a long time. And most of the things that I have done or part of my the groups that I might belong to have been very liberal and left. Certainly in the mental health field, it is highly dominated by liberals. What has been your experience about fellow physicians in terms of politics, either their willingness to speak out, any thoughts generally about that you could shed light on for the rest of us?
Most are not that vocal. Certainly locally within my practice, I'm in a large retina group, and we generally don't talk politics amongst ourselves. And some in the group are very active politically in terms of advocacy, advocating for our profession, for medicine, for ophthalmology, for retina. And that's great. And that involves meeting with legislators and going to their offices and attending meetings. And my politics, yes, I'm interested in medicine and healthcare, but not so much what's good for my profession, but more what's good for the profession as a whole.
And for
but
the country.
In terms of physicians in general, there's definitely a shift to the left. And I read something about that quite recently that's been analyzed. And the reasons are the young doctors come out of academic programs, whether it's Columbia or CU or wherever, where there's an emphasis on social justice and all the liberal causes. The medical schools are pushing diversity and climate change and gun control and all the hot button liberal issues. So they come out thinking about those things, and they're also employed. They're part of large organizations. Most physicians are not in private practice. They're employed by hospitals, health systems, insurance companies, and that's their indoctrination. That's what they're learning about politics from is these organizations, much like people coming out of academic programs, universities, et cetera.
Absolutely.
So the profession as a whole is shifting left, and there's pressure toward single payer and pressure toward asking patients if they have a gun and all the social determinants of health, which, yes, they're important, but if you go overboard, then you're finding racism everywhere, and every disease becomes a racist disease, and that's too much. The social determinants of health are important, and poverty and race and ethnicity, yes, these things do play a role, but if you focus on that exclusively, then you're missing other important things.
Such a good point, Doctor. I'm watching, even though I'm not practicing in the mental health field anymore, I'm watching just this unbelievable indoctrination with a population, a group that's already been very left, certainly social workers, notoriously liberal. I went to the school with Cloward and Piven, but especially even...
I've read about them. They're important
these
days.
Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven. I never met them. They were there when I was there. My best friend went to Columbia School of Social Work just to study with Richard Cloward. But that being said, the indoctrination that is happening with, as I say, a population that is already predisposed towards leftism in all of its ugly forms is now just swallowing whole this, 47 genders and gender fluidity. And I just get crazed. And I've written a lot about this because the term gender dysphoria, which I'm getting off the subject here, and then we're going to take a break. Gender dysphoria, which is distress about one's gender, is precisely what the culture is creating in kids as young as four and younger.
It's disturbing, I can't tell you. But they're sowing the roots of big problems.
Huge problems.
These kids, just let them be boys and girls. That's worked pretty well for centuries and eons, and now messing them up. And interestingly, how do you feel about your colleagues declaring Trump mentally unfit? He's a danger. He's this. He's that. Bandy Lee, who's a psychiatrist from Yale, I think, that's been at the forefront of this and these petitions. And mental health workers are all, they've got Trump all figured out. They've never
it's
met the man.
Despicable.
They've got him diagnosed.
Right. Brian, it's despicable. And if you combine, if you start connecting the dots between the willy-nilly, politically motivated, calling people mentally ill because you don't like their politics, you just combine that, as you and I both know, with the red flag bill and see what you get.
Oh,
we
absolutely.
Already are on that road. And that's the point, is that if you've got leftists who can decide, and now we have California that can, even a colleague, a co-worker, anybody can inform on somebody they don't like who looked at them wrong or who they got into a petty argument with, can now call you mentally ill and have your right to defend yourself taken away. This is all out, flat out fascism. That's what it is.
Oh, it's dangerous. It's what happened in the Soviet Union. People would snitch on each other. And if you don't like your neighbor for whatever reason, you just whisper to the local commissar that your neighbor was saying bad things about Stalin.
Yeah.
And
there's nothing
car
new.
In the middle of the night comes up and your neighbor disappears, never to be seen again.
It's heartbreaking because never did I think that I'd live to see this kind of thing in America. There is nothing new under the sun. They're taking this out of the socialist communist playbook because that's what all socialists and communists do. And there's an awful lot of people that don't know. It is such a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Brian Jundeff. I think we'll take an early break now and then we will dive right into, oh no, impeachment. That's what we're going to talk about when we come back. You stay tuned out there and there will be more with Brian Jundeff right after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no obligation, no cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. And we're back. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off. I love to spout off, and I love to have guests on who love to spout off, too. We have a distinguished guest, Dr. Brian Jundeff, retinal surgeon and all-around political pundit who's been published in many great publications, including The Daily Caller and American Thinker. Welcome back, Dr. Brian.
Thank
call
you.
Call you Doc, Dr. Brian Jundeff, and I love all that. That's great. So let's dive right into impeachment. I won't telegraph what I'm thinking right now. What are you thinking on this whole topic? What do you think are the most important things for people to be thinking about as we watch them lose their minds on the left? I think I telegraphed an opinion there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
To me, this is an ongoing effort to overturn the results of the 2016 election. Impeachment talk started the day after election. They were ready back November 8th or whatever it was. Impeachment talk had started. And when he was inaugurated, the impeachment talk ramped up. And that's been the entire goal of the left, the Democrats, the media, Hollywood, academia.
Let me stop you there for a second, Doctor. You know, we say this all the time, and it seems so basic and simplistic that they've been doing this since I always use the example of Maxine Waters, who was calling for impeachment before Donald Trump served a day in office. So there were certainly no grounds for impeachment, but because she's so ignorant of the law that she's supposed to uphold and represent, she probably doesn't know that. It's scary. Here's the question. So many of us conservatives, varying flavors of conservative, really understand what a vendetta this is. And the biggest smoking gun is right in front of our face. And that is that they wanted to impeach him before they had evidence. Now they want to impeach him in search of evidence. And why is it, other than the media, which is in their pocket, why is it that we cannot break through, or maybe we are breaking through and we don't know it, to the general public to explain that to them? What kind of marketing term needs to be used in order to tell people, you know, if they had this kind of vendetta, how could you possibly trust these people?
Well, I think the message is breaking through. There was a recent survey done in Ohio that showed that most people are not interested in impeachment, and they're quite annoyed with the Democrats for not doing what they're supposed to do. Their constitutional duty is as legislators, and they're doing nothing for the problems of the country. And the House has been single-mindedly focused on impeachment for almost a year now, and the public are noticing that.
Actually, three years, Brian.
Well,
they
have never really stopped. But, at least the Republican House got a few things done. They could have done a lot more if Paul Ryan was on board with the leader of his party, but he wasn't, and he slow-walked everything. They got a few things done, but they could have done much more. Wasted opportunity, but that's an aside. The Democrats, the House Democrats, have done absolutely nothing. There's been no meaningful legislation that's come from the House this term other than impeachment and just endless hearings and Mueller, and they put all their eggs in the Mueller basket, and that blew up, and now it's Ukraine, and when Ukraine blows up, it'll be some other country. It'll be endless whistleblowers. John Brennan sent out a clarion call for whistleblowers far and wide to, if you heard anything or thought you heard something or don't like Trump, then you could be a patriotic whistleblower and gum up the works and give Adam Schiff and his gang reason to impeach. They have no reason to impeach, and they're going about it in a very illustrative way. that shows they have no basis for impeachment. Everything is behind closed doors. They're doing it through the House Intelligence Committee, so the hearings can be held in secret because it's, quote, intelligence. There's been no formal impeachment resolution. The House has not voted to move forward with impeachment. It's just Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Elijah Cummings, and a handful of them that are pushing this.
And I would add, and I
there's no basis.
And
I go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think Trump knows this, and he welcomes this. If there is, and he's goading them to vote for impeachment.
And then, well, the dirty little secret is I don't think they want to impeach him either. I don't think Nancy Pelosi actually wants to. What she's doing is she's going through the motions to give her base the impression that they are going to impeach. And her base, some of them are so stupid, forgive me, ignorant, whatever you want to say, they don't know that impeachment doesn't mean he's getting kicked out of office. It means it's like an indictment, but they don't know that. To them, impeachment means, oh, good, if he gets impeached, that means he's out.
I bet if you went to San Francisco or L.A. or Seattle or Portland and asked the average person on the street, if Donald Trump is impeached, does that make Hillary Clinton the president? And you'd get a surprising number that would say yes.
Wow.
That believe that that's how it works. I'd like Jesse Waters, his man on the street, to do that sometime and just ask. I think a significant number actually believe that.
Yeah,
but yeah,
or,
that's correct. They don't know, and the Democrats they've painted themselves into a box because for 2 years they've been braying about Russian collusion and mountains of evidence, and the walls are closing in. And that's if you put on CNN or MSNBC, that's all you'd hear.
Yes.
New York Times, Washington Post, they're all singing to the same hymnal that it's going to happen. Adam Schiff said he's seen the evidence. There's mountains of it. It's all there. And they got their base so worked up, and nothing happened. And now what? Now the base wants blood. You've been teasing the base for 2 years and came up with nothing. And these Democrats don't want to be primaried. You've got the far left, the squad, those ladies, and the forces behind them, the social Democrats or whatever they're called, Democrat Socialists. And if they don't do it, they're going to be primaried. Jerry Nadler doesn't want to get primaried out of his seat like AOC did to whatever his name that was there, Joe something or other.
Nobody even remembers his name anymore.
Adam Schiff, Pelosi, these people could all be primaried. Maybe AOC runs against Chuck Schumer for the Senate. These people are deathly afraid of their far-left fringe. And they've enabled them. They haven't shut them down.
Yep.
Pelosi's giving them a seat at the table. And you enable that kind of behavior, you get more of it.
She really has to, because she's showing that she really has no control. She announced that right after AOC said Nancy Pelosi has no guts to do it. Let me ask you something. Brian, in my preparation in looking at some of your writings, I was absolutely enchanted with something you wrote. Not enchanted, but I mean, I just thought it was like perfect to ask you about. With all of your writings, I came across one from December 14th, 2018, almost a year ago. And it says, "When does Trump say enough is enough?" And here we are a year later. And enough still isn't enough. Your thoughts on that?
Well, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Donald Trump is a very smart and capable man. He knows what's going on. He knows what he got himself into. He knows the forces that are arrayed against him. He's been in a very cutthroat business for a long time. I think he has his own intelligence network that he's relied on for decades. And he's not a rube. He's not some novice at this that's bumbling through. But what he knows, he's not going to make public. He can't.
Right.
Because that destroys the strategy. If you have a strategy for how you're going to win a legal case, win a sporting event, whatever, you don't let the other team know what your strategy is. I think he knows, and Trump is also a master of optics. He did reality television for 10 years. He knows about branding. He knows the election's coming up. He's masterful at this, and I think he will lay it out on his terms when he's ready. If there are going to be indictments, you need the judiciary ready. These have to be ironclad cases. The worst thing is to indict Comey, and he gets off on a technicality. Imagine the field day the media would have with that.
You've
got a lot of Obama-appointed judges and holdovers that will try to gum up the works, meaning that Trump and Barr have to have their ducks in a row. And however long it takes, and yes, we're disappointed, and we want all this stuff to have happened yesterday. The bottom line is you either trust Trump or you don't. If you don't trust him and think he's an idiot and doesn't know what he's doing, well, then that's what you believe. But if you trust him and you've been with him this long, then you trust that he's going to handle this in the most advantageous way. And if it's advantageous to him, it'll be advantageous to his supporters.
Darn right.
In other words, you have to have faith in the process and that he knows what he's doing and why he's doing it, and that we're not privy to much of what's going on behind the scenes. We get occasional glimpses. The Q phenomenon, which is an insider supposedly that's feeding tidbits of information, but also feeding disinformation, because the enemies are looking at that stuff too. In other words, it's a big house of mirrors, and we're kind of walking through it, and we're not the person in charge that knows all that's going on. And that makes it frustrating, because people like me have been watching this closely and want something to happen, and we want Trump to say enough is enough. And maybe he's leading them on the impeachment merry way, because he's going to spring a big trap on them. I don't know what he has planned. But all I can say to his supporters is hang in there and have faith. If you give up, you're no better than the Never Trumpers. You can be a Bill Kristol or a Max Boot or a George Will.
Right.
And give up and say Trump's an idiot, he doesn't know what he's doing, and I'm not interested. Well, then if that's what you want to do, then do it. Otherwise,
I might add, Brian, that I don't think any of the guys you mentioned ever gave up. I don't think they ever had any intention of giving Trump a chance from the very beginning. And they have been trying to justify manufactured hatred for this guy because he stands for stuff that they don't want. They're globalists. They're globalists from the so-called right, which is sort of the same in a lot. And they never, Trump represents the exact backpedaling that they never wanted. I mean,
on the other hand, Karen, look at these people and what they've in their weekly standards and national reviews and their cruises and their lectures and books and everything they've done, the conservative principles they've been pushing their entire careers. Lower taxes, less regulation, constitutionalists on the Supreme Court, a strong U.S. military, a sensible foreign policy. Yes, they're globalists, but Trump has been pushing what they've been talking about their entire careers. Trump is strongly pro-life.
Right.
He hasn't bought into all the social stuff. He's doing everything the conservatives, the supposed conservatives, have been wanting their entire careers. But because he's the messenger, I think that's the problem, that he is the messenger, not them.
You think so?
Yes.
I love finding elements in which I disagree with people whose positions I mostly agree with and that I respect. And I most certainly respect you and your thinking. I would wonder, and tell me if you think this is possible. This is what I've been thinking, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this or any of these maybe nuances here. I don't think it's as personal towards Trump as people think. I have believed for a long time that Trump stands to expose the reality of the people that you mentioned, that they never really were for those things that they say they were. They weren't really for lower taxes. I mentioned in my monologue, you may not have heard, they weren't for the less dependence on foreign oil. They have made a deal with the devil, and it's called globalism. And the biggest threat, the reason they manufactured this hatred towards Trump, is because Trump can't be bought into that. If Trump were suddenly to be for globalism, open immigration, the multinational corporations and all of that really running the show and limiting America's power in the world, suddenly they wouldn't have anything wrong. They wouldn't see that much wrong with Trump's style. I think that's just a ruse.
I think that may be part of it, but I think it's really the messenger they don't like. If Jeb Bush won the White House and he was doing what Trump was doing, I think they'd be delighted because he's one of them. He's controllable.
The point is he wouldn't. The point is Jeb Bush would never do what Trump is doing because he's already owned by them.
we have a conservative in the White House who's not an ideological conservative. He's a practical conservative, but he's at least as conservative as Reagan was, and he's doing the things that Reagan did. And these people built their careers on Reagan. We want another Reagan, and they got one. But they just—he's not part of their club. He's from the wrong side of the tracks. He's outspoken. He didn't pay his dues. He doesn't listen to them. He doesn't genuflect to them. That he doesn't care what they say.
We'll have to agree to disagree, but look at the price that they paid for all the people that you mentioned. Their reputations are in the toilet. Bill Kristol is nowhere, and yet he has remained absolutely staunch in his hatred for Donald Trump because it shows that he's never been a conservative. Look at all the I'm totally okay to agree to disagree, but look at the Congress, look at the House and the Senate. When they had both houses and the executive branch, they were highly, highly resistant to instituting the very things that they've been running on for decades. Things like lower taxes, limited government, less regulation, and on, defunding Planned Parenthood. Everything that they say every campaign season, they have a vested interest in keeping unsuccessful, keeping people, the people that send them money. They tell them, well, we just couldn't do anything because nothing works fast in Washington. You know why nothing works fast in Washington? Is because people are getting their palms greased. And that's what's really going on, is that there's really
difference. That's part of it. They're also afraid to fight. They're afraid of the media. They're afraid what people are going to think of them. They want to be invited to the cocktail parties and invited to the Sunday talk shows. And they really don't have the fight in them. Some of the never Trumpers are turning around. Glenn Beck is starting to pivot.
Ben Shapiro, who hated Donald Trump.
Yeah. So they're realizing, and their egos are not so big that they can't admit they were wrong. Maybe not in so many words, but they're making that turn. The Max Boots and Bill Kristol's and George Will's, their ego's too big for that. They want to save face.
It is
puzzling because these people are getting what they've wanted, or at least said they wanted. And then it's the question of their sincerity and do they really want this stuff, but they made a living pushing this. And the books he wrote and the columns and for decades, these people have been either it's a giant charade or they don't like how it's rolling out.
Now, I tend to believe, and this is why Trump is so dangerous, that Trump is doing exactly what they most feared, and that is that they were never serious about those things and never wanted those things. They're willing to be a permanent minority in this country and allow Democrats to open the borders so they can get their palms greased, and that's what Donald Trump has exposed. Forgive me. Let's take a really short break, and we'll move on a little bit to the media. and some other things before we have to let you go. Can you stay?
Sure.
Okay, great, Brian. Dr. Brian Junedeff, a real deep thinker. You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Stay with us right after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Welcome back, Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off. I'm having fun on air and off air talking to Dr. Brian Junedeff, a retinal surgeon and also a oft-read pundit on Daily Caller and The American Thinker and other places. We were talking, we could always talk about the media, but we were talking about the fact that at this juncture, the day that this is being aired, October 15th, you can always get the podcasts at www.karencataline.com, all 86 of them now. We're talking about the fact that yet again, the Democrats are going to be debating tonight. So what are your thoughts about what we might watch of these 12 leftist Democrats hoping to unseat Donald Trump?
Well, they're all going to try to out-left each other. And who's going to be more woke? Who's going to be more socially conscious? Who's going to be more with it on the LGBTQ whatever issues? Like Elizabeth Warren, there was something recently where there was a plant in the audience, a big Democrat donor, asked her a question that was teed up for her, and she had a prepared answer. I think we'll see a lot of that from the moderators. They're going to try to make the candidates look good, unlike Megyn Kelly questioning Donald Trump, if you remember that a few years
yes,
ago.
Yes, I do.
And I think they're going to be going after the front runners. This is blood sport. This is only one survives. It's like the Hunger Games. You've got 12 of them, and only one walks out with the prize. And they will do what's necessary to sully the others. Somebody may
so
go
that
after
makes it
Biden,
fun to watch.
Biden for the kill.
They're, yes. You know,
Bernie's already going after Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Calling her a capitalist. And of all the insults that you could level at
God
Elizabeth
forbid.
Warren, you can call her Pocahontas all day long and she won't flinch, but call her a capitalist and that must sting.
Exactly.
Oh, the horror of that.
You capitalist, you!
Yeah.
So that's hilarious.
That's Bernie's job, and someone will go after Bernie, and it's going to be a circular firing squad. And I don't know who's left standing at the end. I'm keep my eye on Hillary Clinton because I think she's. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if she's got her fingerprints on the Ukraine business and Biden and
yes.
getting some of this stuff out and some of the rumors and Elizabeth Warren and her getting fired for being pregnant. All these things. I think that the Clinton machine is strong. It's still there. And Hillary Clinton is making noises like she wants to get back into it. And when
she
the opportunity is right, don't be surprised.
Did you love that? I had to post that on my Facebook page. It said, don't tempt me. I just thought, what? You need to be tempted? You've been obsessed with being queen forever.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't tempt me. What kind of alternate universe is this woman living in? That's what I want to know.
Well, it is an alternate universe because she says, yeah, if I run, I'll beat Donald Trump again. I beat him once already, and I'll
beat
him
before.
Again. And it's like, really? Are you that tone deaf that you're who's in the White House and who isn't?
Yes.
So
yes, she is.
That's nonsensical.
And for that reason, it would be way fun. I think for the pure entertainment value, my choice, dun, 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 for the Democrat nominee is Joe Biden. I would love to see Donald Trump and Joe Biden debate. That would be a stitch because Donald Trump simply isn't going to play the stupid game. He's going to say, weren't you a plagiarist 20, 30 years ago? What ideology are you plagiarizing today?
Trump will run circles around him, and Biden is low energy, just like Hillary. He'll be doing a couple of events a week, and that's it. He's the only difference between him and Hillary is he's more personable. Hillary's a cold fish; she's just a nasty person.
She's
Joe
just
is
mean.
At least reasonably personable. If you were to meet him at a bar and chat with him, he'd probably be pleasant to talk to. I don't think Hillary would.
If you can remember
that,
his name.
They're the same low energy, and Joe doesn't know where he is half the time. He forgets who he was president for, and he's under the spotlight of a presidential campaign. I don't think he can handle it.
No, that's why it'd be
fun. And if the Democrats know that, they're going to torpedo him.
Well, it's quite possible that this latest attempt at impeaching Trump is part of that torpedo right there. It came out right after it became clear that Biden couldn't remember anything. He was making gaffe after gaffe, which he's always been a gaffe machine. And I think your supposition or your possibility that the Clinton machine went after Biden with this, and her fingerprints are all over this. I mean, the non-existent whistleblower with no evidence could well be part of that. Listen, Brian, we have to let you go. How can people find you, read your stuff? Can they connect with you on Facebook? Tell everybody how they can stay abreast of what you're doing.
I have a Facebook page, a personal page, which isn't all that exciting, and I have a political page. They're both under my name. The political page is a lot more fun. I'm on Twitter, and my handle is at Retinal Doctor, R-E-T-I-N-A-L, Doctor. And follow me there. I have a LinkedIn page where I post my writings. I don't have a blog. I don't have a website. That's a little bit beyond my capabilities, but maybe
we'll
someday.
Have to get you set up with that.
But I do write for American Thinker and Daily Caller, and you'll yes. see my stuff regularly on American Thinker.
Excellent. And you can Google him if you know how to spell his name, Dr. Brian, or it's MD. Joondeph is spelled J-O-O-N-D-E-P-H. Thank you so
Correct.
Much for being with us, Dr. Brian.
Thank you, Karen. And, that was a pleasure.
Godspeed and keep on writing. We need your voices out there.
I will do that. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. My pleasure. Well, that's about all the time that we have for this edition of Spouting Off. As I mentioned, all the archives of Spouting Off can be heard at my website, www.karencataline.com. Facebook is /KarenCataline. Twitter, at Karen Cataline. It's all the same name, just know how to spell it. K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Thanks to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. Thanks to HW, my husband, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be oh so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.